Right. And again, are the victims funding your defense of their issues?
No. So at the moment, we're acting on a contingency fee agreement where if we are successful at trial or in settlement, then Tiger Brands will pay our legal fees, but the victims are not paying anything.
And again, just you can't go to the Constitutional Court or anything higher court to insist that they either make an offer or that it goes to trial and speedily as such.
No, unfortunately, this has been lodged with the High Court and will have to wind its way through the court system.
Well, I thank you for that. We hope that the victims, 1,000-plus victims, get relief really soon. This has been dragging on for long, and now you can understand the frustration where that's coming from. Insurers don't want to pay out R1 billion. They don't want to pay out R1 billion. That's where the issues are at 9:30. Time for Eyewitness News headlines. Zulfa Khan, standing by.
Thanks, Clarence. Good morning. The Ndufuna Ukwazi Law Center says it will continue to fight for its clients' homes and possessions to be returned, restored or replaced following an unlawful eviction of land occupiers in Cape Town last month. It's representing 38 people who had their homes demolished without a court order and their building materials taken on the 19th and 22nd of August. ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula says there's urgent need to resolve the party's internal squabbles, suggesting they're affecting its stability. The organization's National Working Committee met in Gauteng yesterday, taking stock of its dismal electoral showing in that province. Mbalula says that indications are that factionalism within the party is doing more harm than good. Then severe floods are expected to inundate parts of Vietnam's north, including the capital Hanoi, as the aftermath of Typhoon Yagi continues to extract a deadly deathly toll. Landslides and floods triggered by the typhoon have killed at least 65 people, with 39 others still missing. Yagi's been labeled the most powerful storm to hit Asia so far this year. These and other stories at 10 or as it happens.
EWN Traffic.
In your traffic, we have faulty traffic lights at Valhalla Drive and Myrtle Road in Bishop Lavers. At Amundel Road and Axis and Sornacre Mall in Kales River, there's a road closure on Baden Powell Drive and it's close to traffic between Capricorn Circle and Strandfontein Road. Please use an alternative route. Public's also advised that construction work to rebuild the Usasazi and Danoon My City stations is planned to start on the 10th of September and will continue until March 2025. Both sites will be cordoned off and the dedicated My City lanes joining the two stations will be closed. Zulfa Khan, Eyewitness.
With conversation this hot and happening.
How does one quantify the risk to my lungs and other people's lungs that are affected by what we breathe in?
You never want to miss a single beat.
Food, housing, transport, many of us just wondering how we're going to make it to the end of the month.
But when life happens, K-Talk recaps all the biggest conversations from the week, every weekday
from 9 p.m.
It's so important for us to understand the difference between philanthropy and charity. Make it clear for us.
Catch the best of talk only on Cape Talk. Join the conversation.
To the itchy, watery eyes, the cough, the sniff and sneeze, and the hives, we say unite against allergies. For 24-hour allergy relief, speak to your pharmacist about Demazin. Demazin gets it done.
Are you ready to take control of your financial future? Whether you're investing to live off the interest or your audacious goals, open a 60-month fixed deposit account and earn 12.8% interest at expiry. African Bank is more than just a bank, because when you grow, we grow. Join the bank that backs you. Visit an African Bank branch or go online to open your investment account. African Bank, audacity to believe. African Bank Limited is an authorized financial services and registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
At Cape Talk, we love to talk the talk. And when it comes to protecting you, we're committed to ensuring that we walk the walk too.
That's why Cape Talk adheres to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission Code of Conduct. We're committed to giving you accurate news, fair comment, and balanced programming, representative of diverse views. If we're not living up to this code, you can direct a complaint in writing to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission. Email bccsa@nabsa.co.za. For more info, visit bccsa.co.za.
Views and news with Clarence Ford.
Share your perspective.
Only on Cape Talk.
Welcome back. It is 9:35. Views and news with me, Clarence. Till 12 o'clock. A reminder that you must be part of the conversation via WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. And you can call at any time. Hello to 1446-0567. It's that time of the morning. Barbara Friedman joins me in the studio. She's our digital content editor tasked with, of course, going through social media in its very many forms, and she needs to bring us three top stories, and I understand the first one completely. Yeah. I saw it in the New York Times as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over socials from as soon as it was released about 15 hours ago, and that is Kate, Princess Kate, posting on her and the Prince and Princess of Wales Instagram account a message from her, from Catherine, about her treatment. It was a sort of end of summer video message that has gone viral, and it was about her cancer treatment. Her chemotherapy has come to an end. I've picked a little bit from the middle. It's about 3 minutes long, but we've picked a short little bit in the middle. Let's just listen to Kate.
Doing what I can to stay cancer free is now my focus. Although I have finished chemotherapy, my path to healing and full recovery is long, and I must continue to take each day as it comes. I am, however, looking forward to being back at work and undertaking a few more public engagements in the coming months when I can. Despite all that's gone before, I enter this new phase of recovery with a renewed sense of hope and appreciation of life.
Just to give you the context for those that haven't watched the video, it's a very different style from what we would have seen in the past from royals or people of that kind. It's filmed like a movie. It is this sort of, it's almost got a retro summer haze to it. She's in a long summer dress. She changes outfits a couple of times. So it was shot professionally. It was edited. She and the family, Wills and the kids, going through the summer fields. Very beautiful, very beautifully shot, beautifully voiced over. It's just an interesting media choice in a world where in the past there'd be a sort of quite formal press statement that would be released. And I think there is a sense of having learned a lesson from what went on earlier, which was that all that drama for how many months did it go on when we didn't know where Kate was, became so toxic and so awful. And then when they announced finally that she had cancer and was getting treated, it was all a very different kind of style. And I think it's interesting because, in the UK, when summer comes to an end, everyone comes back from their holidays, it's back to work, Wills is back at work. You know, there's a gap for the public or for the commentators to go, are you going back to work now, Kate? You know, there's that kind of propensity. Yeah. So they've nipped that in the bud, in a sense. They've gone, she's mentioned that she will do some engagements, but she will focus on her health. And I think it's quite a good strategy to head it off before it happens. So it's a very, very well put together. It feels like you're watching a movie, and the royals are all returning to work, as a lot of Britain are, and let's head off possible questions that are coming at Kate.
Yeah. And hopefully she brings some activism to be on the front of cancer.
She ended. It is actually a very poignant ending to the video, which, I mean, we didn't have time to play the whole thing, where she just speaks about, understanding everybody who is suffering from cancer or has family suffering, and that she is walking, she's sort of standing with him side by side, and
just, you know, emphasizing how precious your family is and her support. And yeah, I think it was a job well done.
It's a life changing illness.
Absolutely, and she speaks about how
even if you're a princess.
Exactly, but your point is so valid because maybe I didn't make that point. That is the nub of her message. She says it was life changing. Her lens, her perspective on life has changed, and the video definitely was the most intimate family time we've ever seen of Kate and Wills and the kids. Very affectionate, a lot of physical touch, and just a very. It's clearly the perspective and the focus of her life now.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good news. It's good news. So she's cancer-free, and she's looking to stay that way. And it's so personal for survivors of cancer. And I think when you think about those that have succumbed to the disease as well, and their families, it is just a very tough journey. So, well done to her. Right.
James Earl Jones. I know this has been spoken about, the man with a voice, the revered actor with a voice. So he's died at age 93, which, you know, it's a good age. So it's not like, you know, he was cut off at the prime of his life, but it doesn't matter because he literally is the voice of so many soundtracks and movies that are iconic. And the news just went viral. So many posts from so many actors and ordinary people celebrating the legend. And I thought, let's play this little clip from The Lion King, where he was the iconic Mufasa, who of course was killed by his villainous brother Scar. And this is him talking to his little Simba, his little boy. And I just find it so endearing.
Dad? We're pals, right?
Right.
And we'll always be together, right?
Simba, let me tell you something that my father told me. Look at the stars. The great kings of the past look down on us from those stars.
Really?
Yes. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I.
Lost his dad.
That's really cute.
I know. I thought an interesting fact, which maybe people know or don't know, is that the iconic voice of Darth Vader, which I know a lot of those clips have been played. Do you know that originally, in the very first Star Wars movie, George Lucas, the director, had hired a completely different actor to play Darth Vader. Mm. But when the movie started being made, the voice just didn't match the character that George Lucas had in his mind. So when the movie was already being filmed, they employed James Earl Jones to do the very iconic voice of Darth Vader, obviously dubbed it over, and he was paid the paltry sum of $7,000, which he says he thought was a lot of money then. And then later, obviously, he became Darth Vader for all the rest of the series of movies. So it's quite funny that
his salary went up quite significantly.
I would imagine so. And I just thought that was a bit of trivia, you know, in that very first one, which I saw as a teenager, I remember reading this over the years, the actor who was originally employed didn't make it. David Prowse, his name was, and he was quite a muscly man, but he didn't have quite the right accent for George Lucas. And also just other bits, like, you know, he speaks about over his life, over how he was a stutterer and how he struggled with speaking when he was a little boy and how he overcame those things to become the voice. Mm. So that was interesting.
The great innings, 93 years old.
Oh, amazing. I mean, absolutely. And then finally, this picture it's gone viral, and it just made me smile. And I just think I sometimes love to end on a sweet note. So this sports broadcaster and a mom, her name is Michelle Owen in the United States, she posted a picture on her Instagram of her little boy leaving on his first day of school in this month, in September. And as he's walking out the door, she's lined up all his Marvel action figures, a whole range of Marvel action figures, beautifully lined up behind him with their arms. She's put the arms up so they're waving him goodbye. There's a whole gamut of, like, I don't know, 25 of these characters on the floor. I don't know if you can see the picture the picture, but they're all lined up on the carpet in the hallway as the little one walks out the door on his way to school. So all the Marvel action characters that he's obviously played with for years and that he loves, he's what, 5-6 years old now, on his way into the big wide world to school, and they're all waving him on his way, and people on social media just absolutely loved it. It's puberty shared it. It's had like 500,000 likes and just people going, what a pic, just love this. You know, he's a superhero and he's got all these superheroes behind him. And I thought, actually quite a cute idea. If your little one is going on some big new rite of passage in life, maybe that is quite a sweet idea to take some of their toys. It doesn't even have to be the Marvel family. It could be their stuffed animals and just kind of like do a little tableau. I mean, it's quite a nice idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think he'll look back one day on that picture when he's grown and he's going to go, wow, that was just such a sweet thing my mum did for me.
Listen, I need to ask you something. Mm. All well with your soul?
Yes.
That's not a loaded question. It's just
All well with my soul. I mean,
it's just World Suicide Prevention Day.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We should be inquiring about it.
Yeah, and I'll share something more honestly, because it's been 30 years since I suffered from major clinical depression for a very long time in my 20s and was suicidal. Wow. And actually, you know, tried to overdose, did things like that, ended up in hospital for a long time, had the most incredible support, had the most amazing psychologist and psychiatrist, turned the corner with a lot of hard work, and nobody that ever meets me would imagine that was me. So I just
clearly no going back there from what we can do.
But I think what I want to say about it, because I think about it often when I see people who have died by suicide or are, have suicidal ideation, I always feel I wish I could reach out to them, because I never thought that it was possible.
And you've been there, you understand.
That's what I never thought it was possible when I was in the darkest of places. Mm. And I managed to crawl out of that abyss, and I came out of it with gold. Wow. You know, psychological gold, and I have walked, and I don't even regret it, because it's made me who I am now.
I can't understand the depth of the despair, and I think that's maybe where the stigma comes from.
Yeah. And now it's even hard for me to understand how I was in the depths of, but it is so not rational. I just want to be clear. Okay. Like, it's not a question of, I'm just trying to be and there were two schools of thought. This was obviously many decades ago. There would be friends who would kind of almost want to say to me, snap out of it, which is the wrong thing to do. And there'd be those that would just be there for me, and I did get help. I think it's very hard for people who have not suffered from clinical depression to understand what that really is in a lived experience. Honestly, it was like I never saw a blue sky. When I turned the corner, I was in one of the clinics eventually for a long time. And I remember waking up one morning, I'd done a lot of dream work and my therapist, and I'd had this amazing dream which gave me this message of why I needed to choose life. And I looked out and the sky was blue. And I remember thinking, it's the first time I've noticed a blue sky in a very, very long time. So people actually, it's like being in darkness.
Wow. Okay.
That was a bit of an overshare.
No, I think such an important share. It's an important day. And we need to learn how to talk to each other.
Absolutely.
We don't know what's going on.
And my biggest advice, and I know it's hard when you're in it, is please get help. Because I know people in my life who are suffering from depression, and they just aren't getting help. Mm. They somehow feel it's a stigma to almost reach out. But your friends are not professionals. Mm. We can't help you the way a psychologist can, or a psychiatrist can.
And the friend shouldn't try and rationalize it. I think that's the important
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's so tempting to do that, because that's what we always want to help. Like, we want to go, okay, well, what can we do? Right. But it's not. It's a much more amorphous thing than that. Yeah. And it can happen for so many
reasons.
And
it's not a happy pill. That's not the solution.
I think medication does help. I was on medication at times. Sometimes it did help.
It controls the symptoms.
I think that it's a much, for me, it's a long-term depth analysis. It's about really looking into your wounds and actually really starting to understand where they come from.
Thank you, Barbara Friedman. Bob's Wired is at 9:48. We're going to talk Judges Matter. We're going to talk to Bekizele Benjamin from the non-government organization Judges Matter. And we're going to talk specifically about paying judges low salaries could impact judicial independence. It's a pretty serious result of underpaying judges. That conversation next.
Pick Jasper Hudson on Cape Talk.
Weekdays at 1 p.m.
We thought we would take the gap to speak to somebody who has been pulled back into the MasterChef kitchen because he went through the experience of not ever being eliminated because Sean Godfrey was the one who emerged as the winner at the end of the previous season.
Food is becoming quite a popular culture item. You know, even a couple of years back, I don't think there was as much emphasis on TV cooking, cooking in environments. If you look at it, we've got tons of cooking shows going on right now on TV.
Yeah.
And that's starting to accelerate.
Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
Every weekday.
1 till 3.
Only on Cape Talk.
Join the...
Mom, Dad, when you choose which party to vote for, it's actually my future you need to think about. And if you ask me, my vote goes to Mantelli's. Because when I'm at school, learning how to fix your world and your problems, nothing keeps me going more than a lunchbox full of Mantelli's delicious biscuits.
Mantelli's, the individually wrapped lunchbox heroes, biscuits and rusks for children with impeccable taste.
And don't tell me you can't find them, because Mantelli's is available online from Takealot.
Dear Journal, day 2981 of trying to be an adult. I couldn't wait to move into my own place and start decorating. Then I realized how expensive it is to move into your own place and start decorating. Anyways, I'm super into minimalism now.
Got evicted from the family home? Get covered at pineapple.co.za. It's like 570 rand a month, so it's 100% the insurance for you. Underwritten by Old Mutual Alternative Risk Transfer Insurer Limited, licensed non-life insurer and authorized FSP. Premiums are risk profile dependent.
Amongst our Google reviews, clients have said, honest and always willing to assist. Fantastic service and expertise. Quick and efficient. Honest and fair in all dealings. We appreciate all the comments over the 30 years we've bought, sold and provided collateral loans as a registered credit provider. Our expertise includes fine watches, gold, diamonds, silver, Krugerrands and fine art. Visit Point Jewelry Exchange for a free valuation. pointjewels.co.za. And thank you for your continued support.
Join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Okay, so last week, Parliament's Justice Committee finally approved a presidential determination of a 2.5% increase in the salaries for judges and a 4.5% increase for magistrates for this financial year. And this includes a 3% backdated increase for 2023. Bekizele Benjamin from legal non-governmental organization Judges Matter is calling for a comprehensive review of judges and magistrates' salaries. Welcome, Bekizele. It's great to have you with us.
Good morning, Clarence. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Good morning to the listeners.
For me, it feels like deja vu. I mean, we talk about this in relation to nurses, in relation to doctors, in relation to, well, teachers. We talk about it as a calling. You know, this is people who are doing this because it is something that they feel is necessary rather than the reward that they get from it. Are judges, should we look at judges differently to those sectors that I've just identified?
Well, it is a calling, Clarence. I can tell you now, no one becomes a judge or a magistrate to be rich. And in fact, a lot of people give up quite a lucrative private sector career to join the judiciary because they want to contribute to society. So they want to serve a greater good than just their immediate clients. And so that's how they come into the judiciary. So we do look at judges and magistrates in the same way as teachers, as doctors, as social workers.
Sure.
So you're quite correct.
So how then do we benchmark salaries? What is fair? How long is a piece of string?
Yes, that's an important question, Clarice, but I think the most important thing is firstly to look at the context. Judges and magistrates as judicial officers must always act independently. They must not. They must take their decisions without fear or favor and always be guided by the law, and which is why the Constitution itself puts in certain mechanisms to protect that independence, including, for example, that it's not easy to fire a judge or a magistrate. And the reason is because you don't want that the government, for example, deciding that because a judge has ruled against it, then they can just fire the judge, sure, or the magistrate. Similarly, with their pay, the Constitution, Section 176, Subsection 4, says that the pay of or the salary of a judge may not be reduced. And again, it's because if a judge were to take an unpopular decision against the government, it shouldn't be that the government can simply just reduce their pay and put a financial squeeze on them. So both these mechanisms are to protect their independence. But at the same time, a judge cannot earn an income outside. So if you're a member of parliament or even a minister, you can earn additional income outside of your salary. So sure. you all you need to do is just to declare. But a judge is not allowed to do so, and for good reason. We don't want a judge to be influenced by any other interests other than their judicial office. And so we lock them in. There's a legal provision that prohibits a judge from earning an outside income, including if a judge was to write a book. For them to get royalties from that book, they would need to get special permission from the Minister of Justice.
Yeah.
And that again is to protect them. So all of because we lock judges into this framework, this constitutional framework, we should protect them as well in terms of their financial needs. So we should take care of them. And currently, the judges traditionally have been paid fairly well, right? But over the last 10 years, those salaries have been going down.
Eroded.
They have been eroded. Mm. Yes.
I think that's such an important distinction that you draw first and foremostly. And then secondly, you're saying it hasn't been keeping up with inflationary kind of pressures. So who's lobbying on behalf of judges?
So that's another tricky one. Judges cannot lobby or cannot be seen to be lobbying any arm of government. They shouldn't. In fact, the code of conduct is very clear that judges are prohibited from trying to get any favor or special dispensation from anyone, whether it's government, whether it's business, whether it's civil society or even the church. They are not allowed to lobby anyone. And so really the way the Constitution sets it up is that there should be this independent remuneration commission that benchmarks the judges' salaries according to international standards, and they should look also at the cost of living in South Africa, and they should try to compensate judges in a way that protects their cost of living. Mm-hmm. And this independent remuneration commission sits in the presidency. So over the last 10 years, they have made recommendations to the president, but at some point, the president only approved a 0% increase, particularly during COVID. I think for the 3 years of COVID, judges and magistrates got a 0% increase or a 1% increase, which is effectively not an increase. And in fact, a WITS economics professor did a study to show that judges in 2021 were earning 17,000 rand less than judges in 2009. That is 17,000 rand a month less. And that has not really kept up since. And so for the last 5 years at least, or even going back to 2009, 15 years, judges' salaries have gradually been going down because of the effects of inflation. And I mentioned earlier, the Constitution prohibits a judge's income from being reduced.
Yeah, and I guess by implication, everybody that is committed to a constitutional dispensation, a constitutional democracy that we are, needs to take up then a stand or take a stand on this particular matter and ensure that judges are treated, given the circumstances that you have, I think, so correctly articulated, Mbekizele Benjamin. We're going to have to wrap it up there, but thank you for bringing it to our attention. If this constitutional democracy is important to you, then judges' well-being needs to be at the center of your concerns. At 2 minutes to 10, news coming your way at the top of the hour.
The Midday Report with Mandy Wiener.
Weekdays, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m.
Are you open to a GNU in Tshwane?
I think this is something that we're going to have to consider going forward. What we would be looking at is any possible configurations that produce the best outcomes for the stability and the best outcomes for service delivery for not some of the residents of Tshwane, but for all of them. And that will be the guiding light in our discussions, undoubtedly.
When do you expect that review to be done?
Certainly, we imagine by the end of the month, Action SA's decision-making would need to have been concluded.
Michael Beaumont.
The Midday Report. Report
with Mandy Wiener.
Weekdays,
12 p.m. to 1 p.m.
only on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
So why should I use WeBuyCars if I want to sell my vehicle?
Because WeBuyCars buys cars.
But will I get the right price?
Of course. WeBuyCars buys thousands of vehicles and knows exactly what every vehicle is worth. Their buyers deliver exceptional service and pay you immediately.
And how do I know what they'll pay for my vehicle?
It's easy. Visit WeBuyCars.co.za or use the WeBuyCars app. Follow the simple steps and voila, you'll know your car's value in no time. WeBuyCars. Quick, easy, the best.
That's Harold and Ed Forrest Hotline, Rowan on the line.
Harold, help. Last year, I forgot my wife's birthday.
Whoops, let me guess. Things got a bit hairy, hey?
No, the exact opposite. She swapped my shampoo for hair remover. There's not a hair left on my head.
Ooh, smooth.
Please help me get it right this year.
You can get a lot more than right. Just visit NetFlorist and order the biggest birthday bouquet you can, and your head will be all taken care of. NetFlorist, it's easy to show you care.
The cost of living crisis is real. Here's what one...